Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Family loves more than a good burger, right? And look, my favorite food in the whole wide world are French fries. I love them dearly, deeply. I have a good relationship with French fries, and I would eat them every single day if I could. I really would.
Fire, brawlers, a Detroit and barbecue dream. You get the treat of the week. But when you dig down,
trashing of America, the trashing of the White House continues. Michelle Obama in Africa says to the children, I can't stop eating French fries, but you should eat carrots. The president tells us that we should tighten our belts, and he, of course, travels the world. The president releases oil from the oil reserves that are made for the Navy in case we need it in a time of war, and the people cheer. Accused pharmacy gunman has shown no remorse, but the cops gave him a good beating. That's the one thing I like about the news, is the pictures. One picture is worth a thousand words. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Dutch court acquits Geert Wilders of Muslim hate speech. Muslim hate speech. I actually thought it was Dutch respect speech that I heard. A man who loved his own country who said the Muslims are taking over Holland. Of course, they tried him for hate speech, but took him all these years. He was found innocent of Muslim hate speech. It's all on MichaelSavage.com. Delta adopts a Saudi no-Jew fly policy. Jewish groups silent. That's right. Delta said that they will conform with Saudi Arabia's wishes and have no Jews flying into Saudi Arabia. No crosses permitted, no Bibles for the infidel Christians who may fly in on Delta. The U.S. government says nothing to Saudi Arabia, nothing to Delta Airlines, and the Jewish pressure groups have nothing to say to Delta, nothing to say to Saudi Arabia. Oy vey. Find out more about UK's ban on Michael Savage. What I did this time on my website is link all of the current articles in one box in case you're interested to find out why the only host who has been banned, the only member of the American media banned from entering England is me, and why no other host will talk about it. Instead, they pose as defenders of the First Amendment. Har. Whitey Bulger arrested. That was always a tough name, Whitey Bulger. I often thought it was a misspelling. I mean, given that he carried weapons under his jacket, it could have been Bulger. Oh, it is Bulger. Oh, it's Whitey Bulger. It's Whitey Bulger. Is that Anthony Weiner's new moniker? Maybe they're related. Maybe Whitey Bulger and Anthony Weiner are really related. Muslim in Pentagon scare charged. Another Muslim? Another one screaming Allahu Akbar? Another one wanting to pick up arms and kill Americans? No. Not possible. Well, not if you listen to CARE. They don't do things like that. They're all here for peace and love. Nuke experts killed in Russia plane crash helped Iran. That's an interesting story. A bunch of Russian scientists who helped Iranians were killed in a Russian plane crash. And it's being published in the Israeli newspaper Haaretz. Nuclear experts killed in a Russian plane crash helped design Iran facility. The five Russian scientists were among 44 killed earlier this week. No official investigation of foul play has been opened, though Iranian nuclear experts have in the past been involved in similar accidents. The five Russian experts had assisted in the design of an Iranian atomic facility, and now they're dead. Boo, hoo, hoo. Oh, how heartbreaking. I wonder why this happened. Don't tell me this is the long hand of Mossad. You're telling me the long hand of Mossad reaches as far as Russia? Wow, that's chilling. That is really, really chilling. Very chilling indeed. What else is on michaelsavage.com for your listening pleasure? Ron Paul, Bonnie Frank, to jointly introduce marijuana bill. What an odd couple that is. Ron Paul and Bonnie Frank introducing a marijuana bill. The states could legalize pot without federal interference. Well, we know there are too many people in prison for selling dope. But we also know that if you legalize marijuana, you're going to create an entire generation of junkies. You know that marijuana leads to other drugs. The young ones don't know that because they have been so sufficiently brainwashed. Pilot suspended for anti-gay, anti-fat comments. Now, wait a minute. Wasn't it his opinion, and yet the stewardesses are suing the airline? If they're fat, why should they be? First of all, let's say you don't agree with anti-gay, anti-fat comments. Isn't it his right to have a bias against gays and fat people and old people? All he said on the microphone was, damn, there's no one to... So for that, they got mad at the pilot? Why don't the fat women fly the plane instead of him? The man was hired not for his political beliefs, but because of his ability as a pilot. Why don't the stewardesses fly the airplane if they don't like it? Everyone's offended by everyone. What else is on michaelsavage.com? Nah, nothing you'll be interested in. Teen stabs newborn, leaves body in closet. Remember we talked about cultural degradation? It's a story I almost didn't want to put on the website. Teen stabs her newborn. She gave birth to a baby, 16 years old. She stabbed it to death and threw it in a closet. I guess she saw that on MTV or somewhere, and she thought that was appropriate behavior. Muslims keep smashing Jewish graves in Jerusalem. More than a dozen graves at the Mount of Olives were desecrated. Well, that's because it's a religion of peace, and they mean teen dies trying to save dog from being euthanized. I can't even read that story. I can't even read it. I'll tell you the truth. It's certain things I can't read. $33 million left to nurse, $500,000 to sex offender, nothing to her family. Right on, all power to the recluse. Reclusive heiress Huguette Clark died at age 104. She was inheriting. Her father made the money. She lived in a hospital in New York for 20 years. She got to like the nurse. She left the nurse $33 million. And she left her family nothing because they had nothing to do with her. See? You see, you're nasty to the rich relatives, what happens? Michelle Obama, I can't stop eating French fries. So what am I going to do, ask you a question? Is Michelle Obama a hypocrite? I don't think I'll ask that question. That would be in politic of me. Illegal seafood swapping, rampant and untraceable. This is an interesting article that I found this afternoon as I went out searching for a cup of coffee here in San Francisco, the little city that couldn't. Streets are broken. Bums are everywhere. It's disgusting what these... You know, don't get me started, but I went to an Indian restaurant. That was my second mistake that I go to. It was okay, just overrate. Buffets, I can't control myself. You know, like Michelle has it for French fries, I have it for buffets. She said she'd eat French fries all day long. That's the problem with an Indian buffet. How can you resist the goop they put together in the vegetable dish, right? You know, you fool yourself. All right, I'm not going to have the tandoori chicken. It's too much protein. So you go and fill up on the greasy vegetables. That's good for you? Horrible. I walked out. I felt like a bumblebee that had been sprayed with Raid. So I'm walking back to the radio studio to get ready for the show. And I see broken streets. And you know what the owner of the restaurant said to me? He said, this is the most corrupt city in America. It's more corrupt than in India. He said, let me tell you what goes on in India. He said, the people say we need a bridge built in this village or that village. He said, so the government appropriates $2.1 million for the bridge, let's say. Okay. Then months later, people come and say, where's the bridge? And the government sends out an official and says, well, where's the bridge? We sent you the $2.1 million in rupees to build the bridge. And the local official who received the money says, well, you see, there was a monsoon and then a flood, and it wiped the bridge out. We built it, but it got washed away. That describes San Francisco to a T. Here we have an iconic structure, the Golden Gate Bridge. I ask anyone listening to this show who lives in San Francisco to tell me that I'm wrong. Go on Marina Boulevard and drive onto the Golden Gate Bridge. It's filled with tourists now. It is broken. There are potholes. They haven't paved the streets going onto the Golden Gate Bridge. Where do the billions of dollars go in San Francisco? Why, up the nose of the city officials and down deep into their pockets. One call already, Strategic Oil Reserve. I think I'm going to commit Harry Carey on the air if this keeps up. What's going on with the summer? Where is everybody? I gave you 53 stories to Sunday and not a call. I'm going to talk about the Strategic Oil Reserve. You want me to go back to Arm & Hammer? You want me to go back to Al Gore's father? You want me to tell you stories about the Gore family? The corruption of the Gore family, in my opinion? How Senator Al Gore, Sr. worked for Arm & Hammer? You want to talk about that, what they did with the Strategic Oil Reserve in his day? No, I'm not going to do it. I'd rather talk about polluted seafood. I pick up the Epoch Times on the way back, which is a paper published by people who know that Communist China is the greatest threat to the world. It's Chinese who are interested in democracy in the world, and they have an article about seafood. Illegal seafood swapping rampant and untraceable. I said, that's right up my alley. You hear this? The seafood Americans buy from the grocery store or restaurant is frequently mislabeled due to an industry rife with fraud, a global charity says. Consumers are paying high prices for items like, and I'm going to read this now because many of you are duped. Everyone's into, is it wild caught or is it farm raised? And the fishmonger says, oh, it's wild caught. Okay, I'll take it. And then you go on with the wild caught, and really it was farm raised in some sewer in Vietnam probably. Consumers are paying high prices for items like wild salmon. Every hippie wants wild-caught seafood. They want sustainable wild-caught seafood. Oh, no, I don't want farm-raised. That's full of something that I don't want. You're paying high prices for wild salmon, snapper, and Atlantic cod. While 25 to 70% of the time, the fish is really not salmon, snapper, and cod. It's really a less desirable, cheaper, and more readily available species, according to independent testing by DNA labs. Can you believe this? So if you think you're getting wild caught because the fishmonger tells you so, I got another guest coming for you. Have you gotten sick from seafood lately? I stopped eating it altogether. I've cut shrimp out of my diet. Won't eat it. That was the last straw. No more. I cannot take it. Most of it's sewer shrimp from Vietnam. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Disappointed in his speech. Removing the 33,000 troops in over a year in our budget crisis is not nearly good enough. And I want to be very clear, I also am troubled by the president's, I thought, unfair characterization of many of us, in effect, as isolationists.
See, even a stopwatch is correct twice a day. And in this sense, I agree with Barney Frank and everything he just said. I mean, I often ridicule him for his bizarre positions, but in this sense, I agree with him. 33,000 troops in over a year is nonsense. It's window dressing just to appease some aspect of the far left. But I think I'm just going to take calls on seafood, buffets, strategic oil reserves, marijuana. Mike in New York on WOR. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Mike. You know, I want to take an opposing viewpoint to what you said about marijuana. You know, it doesn't necessarily lead to other drugs. I've been smoking it for 45 years. Never.
And you've achieved a lot in your life, correct?
Yeah, I did. That's right. That's right.
Let's hear what you've achieved.
Okay, I work for the 10th largest advertising company in the country.
What do you do for this advertising agency?
Media estimating. I check that commercials run on time for radio and TV.
All right. I'm sure you do your job well. But you don't think that marijuana has impaired you?
No, no way. I think alcohol is much...
Well, wait, hold it. We're not talking about alcohol. I'm not selling alcohol. See, this is the problem with you potheads. The minute anybody brings up the reality of the dangers of marijuana, you immediately jump to alcohol. I'm not saying that alcohol's desirable. You didn't hear me say that, did I?
No, but you drink all the time and you never...
Hold on now. Just hold on now. You want to compare one to the other?
I do.
Okay. First of all, I'll ask you a question. Is marijuana fat-soluble or water-soluble?
I think it's fat-soluble.
All right. So what's the difference?
What's the difference is that people crash all the time, drunk and drivers kill each other.
No. You see, you can't answer a question. That's what marijuana does to people. You cannot hold a rational argument. You're fit only for the advertising industry or something like skateboarding. I didn't ask you that. I asked you another question. What's the difference between fat solubility and water solubility? Would you like me to answer it, or you don't know the answer, or you do know the answer?
Fat soluble has a half-life in the bloodstream longer, so what? Big deal.
Wait, what do you mean, so what? You see, you're jumping over the facts. This is why your body is toxically polluted with many chemicals found in marijuana smoke, which you probably are aware of, but you don't want to admit. Mercury, cadmium, lead, chromium, nickel, arsenic. Shall I go down the list? Benzene, toluene, styrene, acetaldehyde, acetone. You can't argue that any of those compounds are healthful, can you?
It grows in the earth as a relaxant.
So now you're using the stupidest of all arguments, that is because it's natural, it's healthful?
Oh, well, you drink alcohol.
Well, you're going back to something we're not talking about. You just said that because it's natural, it's healthful. Is that not what you're implying?
Look, you said that...
No, you look. You just said that because it's natural, it's good for you. Didn't you just say that it grows in the earth, it's good for you?
No, I said...
Did you or didn't you say that? I'm asking a simple question. Did you say that because marijuana grows in the earth, it's good for you? Didn't you say that?
It's one of nature's natural relaxants, okay?
Hold on. And because it's natural, it's healthful?
I didn't necessarily say it was helpful. You said it leads to other drugs.
Yes, it does. Yes, it is the gateway drug. You ask anybody who has studied the drug scourge in America, and everyone will tell you that marijuana is the gateway drug to every other drug.
It depends on the personality of the human being. A lot of people have addictions to food and fatsoes and all this and that. You know, you made a generalization, and it's not true. Einstein,
So you're wonderful. You're one of the few people who's thrived on marijuana and wound up with your sterling position working in an advertising agency. And did you ever think that if you were not a pothead, how far you may have gone? You might have been a creative director in an ad agency instead of a bean counter?
But Mike, Bill Buckley, the conservative with an IQ of 170, he took his boat out to over 4 miles into international waters, and he smoked the marijuana all the time. That was William Buckley, conservative.
So what? There are people who there are anomalies all over the place. But why do you marijuana smokers get so defensive about pot? Why are you so addicted to it that you have to defend what's indefensible?
Because, Mike, you're putting down the people who use marijuana, but the alcohol, the people...
I didn't put down the people. I said the drug is dangerous, but you're making it personal. You have become marijuana. You are now, in essence, marijuana yourself.
Savage.
We're listening to Sleigh Ride by Leroy Anderson on this hot June day. Isn't it amazing what the human mind can do when it's something special? You feel like you're on a sled. I have to compare it to the garbage of today to make you understand? No, whatever. I'm going to tell you something funny. All right, it's enough already. The last 2 days have been very sluggish. I did one of the best shows of my life yesterday comparing leaders and role models from the past to the present, from dignity to depravity. I mean, right? It was amazing. We played Luciano Pavarotti, and then we played Dirtbags from Jersey Shore. We played Jonas Salk, and then we compared him to the filth coming out of the mouth of Anthony Weiner. We played Martin Luther King Jr. and compared him to a rapster. We played Dylan Thomas and compared him to Amy Winehouse. We compared Edward R. Murrow to MSNBC's host Softball, who felt a thrill go up his leg when he saw Obama. But the call base was low for 2 days, right? Not very good. I mean, it was like struggling. Today, it's Boomville again. So I have a feeling it's Thursday. Many of you went away on vacation. You've gotten to your destination, and now you're bored already of the relatives and the family. And you've let, you know, I'm going out for a ride. I got to pick something up. I'm going to the pharmacy. Are you listening to this show somewhere down the road? In the car somewhere where the family isn't around? Something's got to explain to me why all of a sudden it's blasting with callers. All right, I'll take a caller out of New York. Vic in New York on WOR. Welcome, Vic. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I'm coming to town next week. I heard you talk about mussels, marinara. I'd like to know if you can recommend a place that I can visit.
I never talked about it today. You don't mean I talked about mussels, marinara today?
No, not today. In the past.
I am no longer recommending any restaurant in San Francisco. How's that?
Okay.
I have my reasons for that. That's number one. But I hear there's a wonderful gay bar south of Market called Mussels Marinara. You may want to try that one.
that wouldn't suit me.
I'm joking. Come on. It's a nice joke. It's very funny. In fact, if I was going to open a bar, I'd call it Muscles Marinara and open it in that district. Yeah. I think it'd be a big hit. Frankly, I think it'd be a big hit. Muscles Marinara. It's not a bad idea. Someone will steal it.
Phrase,
so you're addicted to mussels, huh?
Yeah, I love seafood. And I heard
what was that from years in prison?
No, not at all.
Sorry. All right, no recommendations. No more recommendations. No more. Michael's not recommending any restaurants in San Francisco. That's it. Enjoy yourself. Try what you want. I'm through with recommendations. Wow, I'm blasted with calls. Nashville, in Texas. Patrick, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I got a comment and a question. The comment is, the reason these governments of the UK and the USA are in collusion against you is you're the last of the Mohican. All those other guys, Limbaugh, Hannity, O'Reilly, they're all compromised. You're the last man to stand up for free speech. But my question is...
Well, thank you, number one. I appreciate it because it's absolutely true, unfortunately. I wish it weren't. And the question?
And the question is, why... Explain to me why the Muslim faith is one of the great five religions in the world when I just see destruction and Sharia law and all this devastation.
Oh, you mean why I say Islam is one of the five great religions on earth, and you're saying how does that fit with what's going on in the world?
Yes, sir.
It's very simple, because the majority of Muslims are very much like the majority of Christians. They want to be left alone. They want to worship and go about their merry way. That's true. And the proof of that is that the vast number of people who identify themselves as Muslim is over 1 billion. It's 1.1 billion, so it's 1.1 billion or something to that effect. So if it's 1% of the population that is radical and given towards hate, towards murder, towards conversion, toward the introduction of Sharia law, that's still an awesome number of people. It's still a phenomenal number of people. Even at 1%, what would it be, 11 million people?
I understand that, but...
No, I'm just doing my math. Let's say it's even 1%. It may not even be 1%. It would be 11 million violent people of the Muslim faith. So let's say it's not 1%. Let's say it's 0.1%. If my math is incorrect, it's be 110,000 people. I'm doing this in my head. That's still a lot of people, and they can do an awful lot of damage and cause a lot of dissension in the world, but that 0.1% does not represent the majority of Muslims on the earth at this time.
I understand that.
And that's why I say that. And I'm not trying to be PC. You just call me last of the Mohegans. I truly believe it or I wouldn't say it. Thank you for the call. That's how I see it. One man's opinion. What now? The marijuana, they're calling like crazy defending their drugs. Every time I talk about the poisons in marijuana, they don't want to accept that they're poisoning themselves. Do you have any idea... Let me put things in context for you young people who think a joint is benign. It is not benign. A, you're giving yourself a higher risk of cancer. Way higher. Way higher. Way higher than you may imagine. That's number one. The smoke itself is toxic. Let's put aside the marijuana, just the hot smoke. Did you know ammonia was found in mainstream marijuana smoke at levels up to 20-fold greater than that found in tobacco? 20 times higher than the amount of ammonia in tobacco. Would you say that that's good for your lungs? How about hydrogen cyanide? How about aromatic amines, which are found in marijuana smoke at concentrations 3 to 5 times those found in tobacco smoke? Aromatic amines are carcinogenic. Many of you, I'm vegetarian. Oh, no, I don't eat. No, I haven't eaten red meat. No, I don't touch red meat. My mommy raised me to be kind to animals. Oh, no, I don't touch red meat. Oh, no, I don't need sulfites, nitrites, your heights, my heights, your heights. No heights. But you smoke marijuana full of nitrous amines? Doesn't matter to you? Mercury, cadmium, lead, chromium, nickel, arsenic, selenium. Shall I read the others? Benzene. I'm going to argue that naphthalene is good for you. Benzoanthracene, crisine. I'm reading scientific chemical names to you for a reason, but they're all real. These are toxic chemicals that you are ingesting when you smoke your sacred little joint, my friends. And it is also a gateway drug. New York, Tom, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
I agree with you 100% that it's a gateway drug. And that person that called defending his addiction, that's basically what they all sound the same once they're addicted. They defend their position, and you can't tell them otherwise.
Yeah, they always defend their addiction. They get very defensive. It's like a religion to them. It's like, how dare you attack, fill in the blank. Which group in America can't you say a word about? It's the same with pot smokers. To them, it's their religion. They don't understand it. Marijuana becomes a cultish religion. Wisconsin, Pam, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage, I just wanted to remind you of two predictions you've made in the last year or so that were right, right on the money. One was regarding Arnold Schwarzenegger and his wife. And
wait,
I remember
what did I say about dear old Strudelman? I used to call him Strudelman.
You said you wait and watch. When his political career is over, so will the marriage be over.
I did say that? When did I say that? Boy, I'm very prescient. I mean, come on. That looked like a staged marriage from day one.
Oh, yes. The other thing was about Osama bin Laden, and I'm not as certain on your wording with this one, but I do remember something to the effect of, how will we really know when he's been killed? And
how do many people to this day say, why did they dispose of the corpse? They did it because they may not have killed him.
Because
it's like Capricorn 1. Nobody really knows. They dumped it at sea. What sense does that make? No one on earth has ever killed an arch terrorist and thrown him in the sea and said, okay, there it is. There's the bridge to nowhere. See, so it opens up conspiracy theories. Everything Obama does is suspect. Now, this only increases the suspicion, doesn't it?
Well, yes. And he's a verbal cobra. He strikes with the word.
Whoa, that's good. Verbal cobra. And that's nice. I like that. Verbal cobra.
You turn around and look and you...
That sends a chill up my leg when you say verbal cobra. I'm joking. That's a takeoff on something else. So you like my predictions, huh? You want me to give a prediction on something? Ask me the topic. I'll predict something. Go ahead.
Oh, gosh.
No, I'm not doing lifestyle. I'm saying now I'm going to be Swami Savage. Okay, I have a crystal ball. It's on the desk in front of the microphone. Ask me to predict on any topic. I'll see if I can do it. Just throw it out there.
Okay, I will. Because I drive so much every day, I'm going to ask you which car company is going to be the most successful next year.
In the world?
Nah, let's just do America.
You want to make an investment. I would put money into Ford.
I don't have any money to do that, I'm afraid.
I would think Ford's going to do very well indeed. They took no government handout, and they're doing quite well. Thank you for that. They make a good product, too. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Now we got the potheads calling, telling us how good it is for them. Their heart's beating. I'll show that. Who does he think he is? I'll call that show. I'll run him into the ground. I'll use my verbal skills to prove marijuana doesn't impair me. I'll call that show right now. I'll call him. How dare he say marijuana, which is my sacred Mary Jane. It's the essence of my religious beliefs. The Jews have their Torah, the Christians have their cross, and I have my pot. Andrea Sacramento, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, thank you for having me. I wanted to say, first of all, I don't agree with what you're saying right now, that weed is the almighty. No, what I'm saying is, if you're okay, and when I say you, I mean anybody, if someone's okay with drinking alcohol, they should be okay with smoking marijuana. Everything
well,
in moderation.
Again, you're lumping alcohol and marijuana together. We are not discussing the pluses and minuses of alcohol, are we?
No, we're not. But when we compare one drug...
Whoa. But that's what potheads always do. They're saying because my father was a drinker or a drunk, I'm going to be more subtle than my father, and I'm going to be cooler than him, and I'm going to smoke a joint. I am telling you that there are chemicals found in marijuana smoke that are carcinogenic. Is that a fact you can accept or not?
That is a fact that I can accept, and I can also accept that if you drink alcohol...
Here you go. Now jump right to alcohol. See, you're going to defend it by attacking alcohol. That's not the point, though. Am I standing here telling you to get drunk?
No, but there's bars on every corner in every city for people to drink and have a...
So therefore, it's okay for you to fill your body with mercury, cadmium, ammonia, hydrogen cyanide, aromatic amines, benzoanthracene, chrysine. I mean, you like those compounds in your body? Of course you don't.
Have you ever smoked marijuana?
Yes, I certainly had, and I've said I had, and it set me back many years. I smoked it when I was young, and it was a crippling drug. It was only when I was able to throw away marijuana and all of the fools I knew who smoked it that I was able to grow.
I do it once in a while. I'm an attorney, a practicing family law attorney.
Of course you're practicing. Of course you need a drug in order to assuage your conscience for what you do to people.
No.
I'm surprised you don't use heroin after what you do to men in court.
No, it's not like that. I got in for the right reasons, not about...
Okay, so what are the right reasons for family law?
Well, unfortunately, in our society, there is a thing called divorce, and when people divorce, you have to have someone split...
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Divorce is a universal phenomenon today. Nothing wrong with that. And I'm not, casting aspersions upon your career choice. I was doing that to be a wise guy. But I think you should really think, Andrea. Are you in your 30s? How old are you?
I'm 33.
Can I make a suggestion, Andrea? The reason you're calling me is not so much that you disagree with me or agree with me. It's because I've touched a raw nerve with you. In your heart, you know that you would be a better attorney and your life would take off on a far superior trajectory if you could kick this addiction. I'm not asking you to acknowledge that on an open microphone to a national show, but I am telling you that that's what you're calling for because you feel I'm right. And I'm going to suggest that if you had an older brother or a father like me who encouraged you without casting aspersions on you or yelling at you, and you had the strength to kick marijuana, I can guarantee you your career would take off over time in ways you can't even imagine. No matter what you may think, no matter how well you may think you're functioning, marijuana is impairing you. Thank you for the call. The same as a drunk shouldn't drive, marijuana should not be used by any professional. Now that's enough on it. Leave me alone already. Okay. Here we are. Oh, someone wants a prediction. This is a tough one. I don't know if I'm going to do it. Seafood. Sacramento, Greg, you're on the Savage Nation on Seafood.
Hey, Mike. I've been listening for 16 years now, and I hate to see you get all upset about bad seafood, but I love seafood. And, hey, Costco has got the best seafood going. They've got, wild salmon. They've got...
Listen. I'm glad you're a loyal listener, but I'm trying to clue you to what just came out from a company that investigates fish to see what you're actually eating. And much fish that's being sold as wild salmon, snapper, and Atlantic cod, 70% of the time the fish is really a different fish, a different species, less desirable, cheaper. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I believe that. But I'd say Costco's got the bargain going on fish.
I guess you work for them, and I appreciate the plug. They should buy time on the show. It's only a few thousand dollars a minute. You can call Talk Radio Network and buy a nice ad. I love when companies try to get something in for nothing. All right. That's the way it is. Results from our DNA lab show that about half the time the fish you're eating is not the species listed on the menu, said William Gergitz, co-founder and managing member of Therion. They actually check out and find out that the difference in price between a well-known fish species such as red snapper and a lookalike can be considerable, and so therefore there's economic fraud. Fish is also mislabeled in order to circumvent duties and tariffs, but mainly it's this wild this, wild that. You don't know if it's really wild this or wild that, you know. Portland, Oregon. Joe, you're up on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Long time, first time. Appreciate your show. Yeah, I smoked pot for years and years and years, and it set me back to no end. Let's just smoke. I'll just be fine.
That's right. Let's lay back. Let's relax. It's natural. Can't hurt me. I'll have a joint. Get rid of your friends. Get rid of the joint. It'll be very painful. It's like having surgery. It's like cutting off an arm. How many years have you been smoking that poison?
20 plus.
And you're 30 years old?
Oh, yeah. And it's bad.
Wait. You're 30 and you've been smoking it for 25 years?
Yes, too long.
Wait. Are you 30 years old?
I'm older than 30.
Wow, because it usually takes you as many years as you have been smoking, by the way, to get rid of it from your mind, never mind from your serum. If you've been smoking it for 10 years, it's going to take you 10 years to really be clean. I'll be back in a minute.
It
is the Savage Nation. Now, so yesterday's show was really good. I compared leaders. I went from the dignity and depravity. The best comparison I think we did, I have to play for you again. I want you to listen to, it's very short, it's less than a minute. First, Jonas Salk, the man who discovered the polio vaccine, and then Anthony Weiner to show you what happened to the Jewish people in this time. Play it now. Right way, don't do it at all. Start again. Sure play clip six. Stop! Clip six. Play
we
it now.
It in United States Senate.
Okay, I give up. All right. I don't know what's going on, I guess. I want you to stop. I want you to stop. Okay, maybe the staff has not been listening to my advice on cannabis, but this has been a disaster, so we won't play any of those. Sacramento Fred, welcome to the Savage Nation.
San Francisco?
Yes.
I have a comment regarding marijuana, and I'm against legalizing marijuana, but in general, I think we have to just let it go like other stuff. And maybe there are some other tricks and benefits that can help the country economically or socially, or I don't know. Somehow we have to learn from other...
Let me explain something. I agree that there are far too many people incarcerated related to marijuana crime and marijuana usage. That's number one. I would say that if you're going to legalize marijuana, it should come with warning labels that are as strict as those we see on cigarettes. The government has made, tobacco, the worst thing on the earth. I don't smoke myself. It killed my father young. I would like to see warning labels about marijuana everywhere so the children come to understand that because it's legal doesn't mean it's good for you. But they won't do that. I don't think you understand that there's a conspiracy here, not so much to legalize marijuana as it is to enslave another generation. I have to again use the model of the Chinese who were enslaved by the British with opium. And it took a revolution of martial artists and the Boxer Rebellion to free the Chinese from the yoke of addiction that was imposed upon them by the evil British. It's going to take a revolution in America.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Which the Democrats know how to take care of that. We did it with Bill Clinton. We were the only party in the last 43 years to balance the budget, create a surplus, 23 million jobs.
They tried to make me go to rehab. I said no, no, no. Yes, I've been black, but when I come back...
You just heard Barbara Boxer saying that the Democrats know how to handle a deficit. And then we listen to Amy Winehouse singing, Yes, I Know About Rehab. How this world has gone from the Boxer Rebellion to Barbara Boxer in one century is a miracle to me, a miracle of devolution. From the Boxer Rebellion to Barbara Boxer in one generation. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Sue in Chicago, you're the first up on the program. What's on your mind?
Oh, Michael, I had to call you and tell you that piece that you're doing now and that you did yesterday was pure brilliance.
You mean yesterday's a comparison of the past and the present from dignity to depravity? You heard it?
Exactly, Michael. It was brilliant. In such a short span, you put together that whole montage and demonstrated the degradation.
No, my staff did it for me under my suggestion. It's 52 seconds long. It should win every prize in radio. But given that the radio industry is run by the same people who run the television industry, who have the same mentality as the San Francisco Chronicle, it will not be subject to any prizes because it's a little too complex and a little too advanced. So what I'm going to do is play it right now, comparing leaders and role models from the past to the present, from dignity to depravity, right here on the Savage Nation.
We have fun, we're fearless. I mean, we go into the room, we kill it. We go into the club, we kill it. Photo shoots, we kill it. We're in Miami, we're killing it. On the beach, we're killing it.
That's just how we do since day one.
I believe that the future generations will look back upon us and judge us as to whether we have been wise or whether we have been profligate and wasteful.
I will not yield to the gentleman, and the gentleman will observe regular order. The gentleman will observe regular order.
I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
I said a hit. The hip, to the hip, hip, you don't stop the rocker to the bang, man. Boogie, say up, jump the boogie to the rhythm.
And you wonder why Johnny can't read. You wonder why Johnny wears his pants under his behind. You wonder why the daughter throws a fetus into a garbage can. You can blame your friends in the media. Welcome to the Savage Nation. So we had Pavarotti compared with the vermin from Jersey Shore. You had Jonas Salk compared with the gutter rat Anthony Weiner. You heard Martin Luther King Jr. compared with a rapper. And now it gets better because we're going to compare Dylan Thomas and Amy Winehouse to show you how we devolved. Edward R. Murrow and softball. Scientist Luis Alvarez and Representative Gutierrez. Then we're going to compare Madame Curie and Lady Gaga. Go ahead, please.
Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light.
They tried to make me go to rehab. I said no, no, no.
We must remember always that accusation is not proof and that conviction depends upon evidence and due process of law.
The feeling most people get when they hear a Barack Obama speech, I felt this thrill going up my leg. I mean, I don't have that too often.
Steady.
I was following my father's advice. I said to myself, let's just sit down in a chair and spend all evening and see what you can come up with.
In the same manner as we have stood up, when the rule of law said to a woman, you will not earn equal pay. When someone of sexual orientation is abused, we say that will not be tolerated.
Magnesium oxide, 99 hundredths percent. Other extraneous matter, 1/1000th of 1%.
I wrote this speech, this address, myself. My address to you today is called the prime rib of America.
Whoa! All the druggies, raised on Ritalin, and then they went on to pot, and then they go to Lady Gaga with the hand in the air with something around their wrist. Then they come out of college, they can't get a job, and they claim it's racism, and thisism, and obia, and bovia, mophobia, bovine obia. Everything's against them. The whole world's not because they're deranged drug addicts who learn nothing in college except how to fornicate. 5-6 years they spend in college using drugs and fornicating like minks, and then they wonder why they can't get a job other than as a barrister in Starbucks. So there it is. That's the world according to Michael Savage. What would you like to do today? What would you like to do today on the Savage Nation? Any topic is a fair game. Illegal seafood. No, that topic's amazing. It's amazing because how many of you go into stores? Is it wild caught or is it farm raised? Are they experts? How do you know the difference? You perceive that there's a difference. If it's wild caught, you heard that if it's wild caught, it's somehow a healthy fish. It was literally glad to jump into the net or jump and bite onto the hook just so you, Morton Filberman in Brooklyn, could eat a wild caught salmon. But God forbid you should eat a farm-raised salmon. You would drop dead on the spot. How would you know the difference? You don't know the difference. I mean, admittedly, you're trying to do what's good for yourself and your family, but you're being duped. That's like kosher, non-kosher. How much fake kosher food is there out there? Huh? How much of it is fake? I mean, really, let's be clear about all of this. All of this is well-motivated, much of it, but most of it's built upon fraud, or a good percentage of it. Farm-raised fish. Or, that's no good. No, I heard it's no good. It gives man breasts. Men will grow breasts if they locks that has raised on a farm with antibiotics and hormones. That's why I wound up looking like your wife from eating a bagel and lox for 45 years because it was farm-raised salmon. So that's why you can wear her dresses. I mean, you can swap clothing. No, it's because you got old and time and gravity caught up with you. It's not because of the lox you were eating. It wouldn't have mattered whether you ate wild-caught salmon that was smoked or whether it was, farm-raised with ethyl stilbestrol in it. I was going to say diethyl stilbestrol, which is the name of the chemical, but it actually is funny to say ethyl stilbestrol, who sounds like a woman who lives in Bensonhurst. Hey, look. Listen, for what I put up with in radio, I may as well laugh. I may as well have a good time. On the way to work today, I turned on the radio. I never do because, you know, there's a rule in radio. All you young people who want to be talk show hosts, two rules. A, don't, and B, there's no room for you, and C, you'll never make it. And D, I cannot believe the garbage that's on the radio. I'm not going to name the host, but you can pretty much figure it out. I listened and I said, wait a minute, this is the biggest show in the world. And he's Democrats. Obama's destroying the world. Obama's destroying the economy, not on purpose, but because he's an idiot. Obama's destroying the entire world. Democrats, terrible. Wait till those Republicans take over. I could not believe that people listen to this. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? That both sides of the dialogue are at a lower level than ever. It's all like Lady Gaga, what I listen to out there. So here we have Geert Wilders. Thank God he was acquitted of Muslim hate speech. Accused pharmacy gunman has shown no remorse. You got to go to my website, michaelsavage.com, because he did resist arrest, according to them. Oh, I'm glad. You see the burly cops in Suffolk? He shot four people. To steal drugs for his wife. It's a heartbreaking story. He got a left eye on him. Those cops gave him a good, good beating. Where's the shyster lawyer now is going to claim police brutality? If a lawyer claims police brutality against the cops who arrested this vermin who killed four people in a pharmacy, I'm going to find the lawyer's home address so that you can send him a get-well card to the lawyer who would do this. The cops went in there to a known murderer. Oh, I know, he's innocent until proven guilty. The 45 that he had, the Springfield 45, the ballistics of the bullets that they removed from the pharmacy matched his gun, number one, and number two, the schmuck left the fingerprint there. I know, he's innocent until proven guilty. Keep him alive on death row for 40 years. This is so your cousin Marvin can have a job for 40 years defending him on death row and tell you how he's an oppressed minority. He's a white guy, number one. That's number one. Number two, he was stealing drugs for his fat, disgusting, degenerate, junky wife. And he killed everybody in the pharmacy. I mean, I discussed it with someone yesterday. It touched a lot of people because, let me explain something. Of course there was robbery when I was a kid. I was a pharmacist assistant. I worked for Doc in Flushing, the guy with the short foot. God rest his soul. He had a foot. He was born. They said he fell off a train. Okay, it was. But they had everything they had in those days. If you had an anomaly from birth, no one admitted it. So if you're born with a short foot, a club foot, he had a shoe, like a 12-inch shoe. So no one laughed. You looked at it as a kid. And you said to me, I worked for a pharmacist who's a club foot. No one laughed. It was an identity. But they would never say it. I say, how did you get that? That foot, oh, he fell off a train, but he was the nicest guy in the world. Nevertheless, I was a pharmacist assistant. Now, let's say someone came in to stick us up, which they didn't, but they could have. I don't think there were as many junkies around, but there were junkies, plenty of them around. Let's say they came in to hold him up, which they didn't. He'd have a mask on. He'd take the drugs. Maybe he'd knock the pharmacist on the head with a gun, maybe. He wouldn't shoot the kid. He wouldn't shoot the boy behind the counter, and then two customers who walked in. What is this with the drugs today? How are they doing this to people's minds? How have we degenerated as a society that human life has no meaning whatsoever? I remember another thing when I was a boy, how I was told, like in the military, they said, the reason the U.S. soldier fights so much better is because the U.S. soldier is taught that human life is precious and valuable, while the enemy, and it was true, have no respect for human life, and they just waste their troops. They'll send them out like into a minefield the way Saddam sent the Iraqis and the way the Iranians sent them into the minefield on the other side. They killed over 1 million Iranians and Iraqis. Young boys ran them out on minefields. They had no... The same way in the battles of World War One, the Battle of the Marne, they wasted millions of young Englishmen and young Germans for no reason. They died for no reason whatsoever. And, of course, not millions, but thousands of Americans died for the same non-reason in World War One. There was no respect for human life in those days. The fat cats who ran the wars for financial and ego reasons, they ran the boys to death into machine gun nests for no reason whatsoever. We've covered this. But how the entire society is now degenerated to the point where we all have the mentality of coolies. Not only does the 16-year-old girl stab the infant to death and throw it into a dumpster, which just happened, but our entire society is now replaceable. Okay, where did this come from? This I can tell you exactly how this happened. I'll tell you exactly how it happened. The church, once certain fanatics attacked the Catholic Church and brought it down and degenerated it, destroyed the Catholic Church, and in some ways there's a justification for the hatred because of the molestation scandals, which although it was, let's say, 0.1% of the churchmen, it was still horrible to those who were molested by some of these rogue priests. But the entire church got smeared the same way all Muslims are being smeared by 0.1% of the population who may be fanatic, okay? So once people stop believing in the church, they stop believing in God. And once they stop believing in church and God, they stop believing in an entity called the soul. And once you stop believing in an entity called the soul, you became nothing but a mass of protoplasm walking around in a pair of platform heels. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Mob fugitive Bulger nabbed near L.A. We're not talking about Anthony Weiner. He can also be confused with the name Bulger. Boston crime kingpin, age 81, wanted in connection with 19 murders. Is caught 16 years after fleeing the law and sparking an international manhunt. All right, so they got another criminal. That's all crime is now over. It's now over because they got Bulger. Suddenly all crime is solved. How about the crime of printing money? How about the crime being committed by the Treasury Department? How about the crimes of Wall Street that are not being investigated? How about the crime of the SEC looking the other way? How about the criminals on Wall Street who are still selling false fiduciary instruments, making billions of dollars? Bulger they got. He's just stupid. He murdered people. As they said when I was a kid, you can rob more people with a fountain pen than with a gun. So today they rob more people with a computer rather than a gun. You know, I'm supposed to celebrate. They got Bernie Bulger, Warney Bulger, Herney Bulger, Herney Mulger, Hernia Bulger. Sacramento John, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hi, long-time listener here. I was a fishmonger for years out in Bodega Bay at a prominent restaurant. If you've ever watched Alfred Hitchcock's movie The Birds, you know where I'm talking about. And the difference between wild salmon and farm salmon, right off the bat, you look at the scales on a wild salmon, they're very small. A farm-raised salmon, they're large. You get a fresh wild salmon, they smell sweet. They're not so slimy. You look at a farm-raised fish, their fins are rubbed off because they're in such close proximity.
Oh, so they're like chicken coops?
Yeah, they live a sedentary life.
No, I guess I didn't make my point clear enough. Of course one would rather have wild salmon and wild fish rather than farm-raised. But my argument is a little different, which is that we don't really know what we're eating once it's been scaled and sold to us. We don't know what we're eating.
Actually, if you have a trained eye, you can look at the layers of fat between the meat, and you will see in wild salmon, it's very thin, and in farm-raised fish, it's very fat.
Oh, wait, aren't we looking for fatty fish? Isn't that where the fish oils are? Don't we want the fish oils?
Well, yes, but...
See, so fat is not necessarily... I would be more concerned about the high levels of hormones that are found in farm-raised food rather than wild, as opposed to the amount of fat, because fatty fish are actually more beneficial for us than lean fish.
That's true, but again, this is an unnatural source, and I got to tell you, these things stunk right out of the box.
I'm just saying illegal seafood swapping is rampant and untraceable, according to a new study, which is the news I put on the show today. I don't think you'd argue with that.
Oh, no, not at all. It's mislabeled left and right to make money.
Okay. Yeah, that's all I was trying to say, is that there's a lot of unscrupulous individuals out there, all of whom are Democrats, socialists, progressives, who mislabel, who mislabel fish. Oh, Lordy. Now, I've given up on shrimp, scallops, clams, oysters. I eat no shellfish, not for religious reasons. I just don't try. I know someone's going to call now and threaten my life because they sell them, but that's, I can't. Your mic is live. Your mic is live. So a few pet peeves now, local pet peeves. So here I am in San Francisco in the radio studio doing this incredibly large radio show. You come over the Golden Gate Bridge. The roads are broken. I've been saying this for a year. Where did the billions of dollars in the city go? Who's stealing it? Who is stealing the money in the city of San Francisco? The road is smashed on Marina Boulevard going to one of the iconic structures. No paving, potholes galore. Nobody notices it because the people are so brainwashed in this sick city that they, oh, we live in a great city. It's so progressive. It's so progressive. Everything is perfect here, except for those evil families and those nasty few conservatives who refuse to leave. Everything else is just so perfect. Bums walking with carts, disease-ridden bums walking around the streets, violent panhandlers. It's unbelievable. You know, it's hard to look with rose-colored glasses. You know, now, so I go down to the ferry terminal, which they built. The last mayor did it, not this mayor. And they turned an otherwise dead space into like the Pike Street Market. It's actually incredible. You know, store after store, creameries and bakeries and restaurants, and it's just thriving. It's beautiful. I have no complaints about it. Okay, I don't eat there. I don't drink there. It's for tourists. I wouldn't be caught in one of those restaurants. Not my cup of tea. You know, overpriced, and tourists love it because it's near the water. Anything near the water, everyone loves. But there's a hustle and a bustle, which reminds me of New York when I was a kid in my father's market, which I like. So I enjoy going through there. Outside, they rented space to people with trucks now that sell like barbecue chicken, $13 for a whole barbecue chicken, $7 for a half. Next to them is a pizza guy who makes the pizza in the truck. The lines are around the block. So I ask myself, are they paying taxes? Are these trucks, these Roach Coach type deals, are they paying taxes? I don't know. Did they comply with the laws that a restaurant owner has to comply with, or a stall holder? I mean, how much money do the people pay for the right to sell inside that building? I don't know. But I can guarantee you it's a lot less than having a stall on the outside. So now they set people up on the outside competing with those on the inside. And I wonder if the city is collecting money on any of that business. I wouldn't know. But it bothers me. It's an example of things that are not being managed properly. And here I am, just a civilian looking in. But there are people in the city who are paid to look at these things, and they don't do it. What the hell do they do for their money? What do all of these thousands of overpaid bureaucrats do for their money? The streets are broken. The bums are all over the streets. These illegal stands, these Roach Coaches are everywhere. What do the city managers do? Nothing. Nothing. Overpaid. Overpaid. From the Boxer Rebellion to Barbara Boxer in one generation. Now I want to compare and contrast the past and the present with another one that we didn't do yesterday. We're going to begin with a first lady who had true class by the name of Jacqueline Onassis Kennedy. Now, people say, oh, Michelle Obama's just, oh, she's better than Jacqueline Onassis. She's so classy. She's, oh, yeah, she's the classiest, most dignified first lady. And people stand there like the king has no clothes. They're afraid to say a word, again, because they're afraid of being called racist. But they won't admit the truth. She has debased the White House. She is a hypocrite. All she does is stuff her face with greasy food and tell you to eat carrots. It's sickening. It's sickening. She has 40 personal assistants when other first ladies had one personal assistant. And I'm sick of this double talk and this jive. So let's begin. And we're going to go from Jackie to Michelle right now in the Savage Nation.
These two are on loan from the Boston Museum of Fine Art. All three pictures in this room are by Healy. There's Thomas Jefferson, a copy after Stuart. And then there's Daniel Webster, who didn't live here, but he visited the White House for 40 years. And then the most famous one of all is this one of Abraham Lincoln, which traditionally always hung in the state dining room. Healy was a contemporary of Lincoln, but he only saw him once, so he painted this picture from photographs.
There is nothing that the first family loves more than a good burger, right? And look, my favorite food in the whole wide world are French fries. I love them dearly, deeply. I have a good relationship with French fries, and I would eat them every single day if I could. I really would.
I'm speechless. But to me, this caricature that shows the immense chasm between class and something less than class could not be better portrayed than in the two sound bites I just gave you. It's unbelievable. Here's a woman who said she hates America. She was only proud of being an American after her and her husband were foisted on us by us nefarious forces who jury-rigged the election, with money coming in from Saudi Arabia and other foreign sources to put him in power. It's unbelievable to me how the people don't see through this, but then again, I know that propaganda is very powerful. And when you have a man like Phil Griffin, who runs NBC News, and a guy like Phil Griffin, who runs MSNBC, where every day they brainwash people with anti-American, anti-family, anti-male, anti-white, anti-military, anti-police, anti-American propaganda, which they pass off as progressive lingo. What else do you expect from people who are brainwashed because of the drugs and because of such propaganda? They could easily think that Michelle Obama is classy. They could easily think that Barack Obama is honest. They could easily think that the country is better off, that the American people are better off than they were under Bush. So there it is. I thought that was a very good comparison. Now let's go to the callers. Now let's go to the callers. I feel better not eating shrimp. I feel like it's a milestone in my life. I was addicted to shrimp. I have to admit it. I know it's a big thing to admit things on radio. I'm sorry to admit that I was a shrimp addict. I kicked it on my own. I cold turkeyed on shrimp. I know this is not as good as Glenn Beck admitting he was an alcoholic or someone saying that they were something addicted to something. But it sells today. Doesn't it say you're an addict? I was a shrimp addict. In fact, it's my next book. It's going to be entitled I Was a Shrimp Addict by Michael Savage. I went into shrimp rehab, and I came out a better man. No longer do I suffer that embarrassment of eating shrimp behind closed doors. No longer do I have this love affair with the crustacean. No longer do I fear that the legs and the tail and the head will suddenly appear in my eyes. No longer am I cursed with the shame of being a shrimp addict. But since I've given up shrimp, I swear my joints are better. It's, you know, it's not, if you like it, good luck to you. The Jews won't eat a shrimp. I mean, most Jews do. I mean, the Orthodox won't, because it's banned by the Bible. A lot of things are banned by the Bible. People do it. So, and what does that have to do with anything? But the shellfish and the pig are two big no-nos. Do Muslims eat shrimp? I see them in restaurants knocking down almost everything now. They have the holy robes on, but they eat pretty good. They don't have the same restrictions as the Orthodox Jews. Oh, they won't go into an unkosher restaurant. That's their belief. They're entitled. So how could a Muslim who follows the same laws with regard to pig, no pork, how come he can fress in restaurants, you sit there eating, knocking down food? How do they do that? I mean, at least the Orthodox Jew won't go into an unkosher restaurant. They're not hypocrites. It's not kosher. They don't go in it. They won't eat on a dish that had dairy on it if they're eating meat, and they won't eat meat if there's on a dairy. So how come the Muslim who so holy, they won't eat, I won't touch a pork product, how can they eat in a restaurant like everyone else with the hat on, with the hajib? How does that work? Can a Muslim call a show and explain to me, other than pork and alcohol, what else are you restricted from? Can you eat shrimp? Or did you also pick up the Jewish prohibition against shrimp? Or was that dropped by the time Muhammad came around? Because they didn't have refrigerators. And even when Muhammad came around, it was later already, but they still didn't have ice. The Iceman did not yet cometh to Mecca at that time, so they could not have, you know what I'm saying? They could not have, like, freed up the restriction on shrimp. Why is it that Jews, once they, like, leave their religion, the first thing they do is eat ham sandwiches and get shrimp cocktail? They're obsessed with it. The first thing they want the minute they eschew their religion is a shrimp cocktail and a pork sausage. I don't understand that. It's sort of like an overreaction to the freedom. Yes, I'm a liberated Jew. I no longer follow the protocols of my fathers. I enjoy a shrimp cocktail. Yes, I eat sausage. I'm a modern person. Not very often. I do have a ham sandwich, it is true, but I'm a modern person. I'm not restricted as my father was. You know, people like to throw. They don't want to do what their father did. What if your father was right on certain things? You have to throw it out? I mean, did your grandfather smoke pot? Your grandfather came over on the boat. Did he smoke pot the day he got here because he was liberated from wherever he came from? That's the first thing he wanted to do the day he got here was smoke marijuana. He could not wait to leave the old country so he can become a junkie. The first thing he wanted was to become a junkie in America. He could not wait to get here. How come he didn't need marijuana in order to get through life and build a family? You know you're not going to build a family. You know most of you potheads don't have children, and if you do, you ruined your families. That's number one. Number two, you're going to leave a horrible legacy. Maybe the most you've ever done is destroy people in a court of law because the judges are as stoned as you are. But other than that, I mean, what can you do on marijuana? Nothing. Nothing. It's the most dangerous of all drugs because it is a gateway drug. Never forget it. Now, having said all of that and explained the chemical poisons in marijuana, which went right over your head because you think it's a part of your religion, marijuana is to the pothead what the cross is to the Christian. And what the Bible is to the Jew, marijuana is to the pothead. They will not, they defend it, they get angry, they'll burn down you. If you say one word about Mary Jane, they go crazy. That shows you that they're addicted to it, and it's very unhealthy. It's a very unhealthy addiction. But I've read all of the toxins in marijuana, and I'm not going to do it again. I did it once, twice, three, four, five times today, and I think you got the message. You know that ammonia was found in mainstream marijuana smoke at levels up to 20-fold greater than that found in tobacco, but you won't accept it. You're against cigarettes, rightly so. I don't smoke. Killed my father. But you, oh, marijuana, it's natural. It's good for me. Hydrogen cyanide, you're going to argue, is good for you? No. Aromatic amines, which are carcinogenic, found in marijuana smoke at concentrations 3 to 5 times those found in tobacco smoke, and you're going to argue that it's healthful for you? There's no argument. So immediately starting with, well, alcohol's no good either, but that's not the point. I'm not telling you to go out and become a drunk. How about becoming clean for a day and not lean on any crutch, alcohol or marijuana? Try to get through a day without a prescription drug or an illegal drug. Try it for 3 days. See if you're not an addict. Give yourself the savage test. Don't have a beer, don't have a joint, don't have a prescription drug for 3 days. And if you can't do that, you're a drug addict one way or the other. I don't care whether you're taking it from Wyeth or from Pfizer. You're a drug addict. Most of Americans are drug addicted. It's a drug-addicted nation, which is why the politicians are no better than the people. They're just like the people, drug addicts, which is why we have to have drug tests for anyone in Congress. Any political office must pass a drug test. Look, you take drug tests if you go to work for a company. You must. You have to pee in a cup. Why shouldn't a congressman pee in a cup? I mean, if Congressman Weiner had to pee in a cup, God forbid the imagery, if he had to pee in a cup prior to become running for Congress, he wouldn't have been elected probably. You don't know what people are taking, whether it's prescription or otherwise, and you should know. These people hold the keys to the future in their hands, whether it be through appropriations committees, military committees, social committees. They're determining whether we will not survive or survive, and that's why we're dying. Because I will wager a bet that a far higher percentage than you may fear of legislators are stoned out of their mind, either on prescription drugs or on illegal substances, and there's no drug testing for them. Why is that so? Why should they be exempt from drug testing? This is a very big campaign issue, by the way, that somebody should run on. Drug testing for all politicians. See how that sells on both sides of the aisle. The wide stance in the stall side, that's the Republican side, or the... You remember him? Who was that guy with the wide stance in the stall who got... Larry Craig, didn't they threw him out the next second, right? You got to hand it to big mouth liberals, though. They don't go quietly into the good night. They scream all the way out of the door. He didn't let go right away. He was like a breech berth, that one, Anthony Weiner. He didn't shut up the whole way out the door. He didn't have the dignity to leave right away. And what was about the last conference was the most embarrassing. He dressed up like he was going to a wedding. He thought it was an acceptance speech. The guy is such a whack job that Anthony Weiner gave a speech like, and I want to thank my parents for the values they instilled in me. This is a guy resigning for having sent pictures of a Schmendrick to the whole world on BlackBerry. The guy got caught sending naked pictures of himself, and he says, I want to thank my parents for the values that they instilled in me. What? What was he on? I have no idea. How could a man give a speech like... It was like an acceptance speech. And I want to thank my fifth grade teacher for all of the... Such a hardworking teacher for instilling values in me so I know how to take pictures of my private parts and send them out to the entire world. I want to thank especially Mr. Katzman, who was my photography teacher in the seventh grade in PS14. Thank you, Mr. Katzman, for teaching me how to use a camera, especially very hard angles. Unbelievable what a speech that was. And he dressed up as though he was going to a wedding, as I say. New shirt. A new Robert Hall suit he got for the occasion. Couldn't he have just submitted a letter of resignation saying, I resign because I'm a dirtbag and I'm embarrassed. I embarrassed my family and my friends and Congress. Why did he give a speech that went on for 20 minutes? Answer, deranged. Which showed that he never should have been elected to begin with. But it's Brooklyn and Queens. They dance to a different drummer. People in Brooklyn and Queens have a totally different view of the world than you do. If you can grift it, they grift it. If you can vote in Brooklyn, Queens, and in Florida, that's even better yet. Because you're getting over on the man. If you can collect welfare in Queens, Brooklyn, Puerto Rico, and Boca Raton, better yet. Because you're getting over on the man. What are you kidding? They rob plenty. I'm entitled to it. Don't ask me. Are you kidding what they rob? What they rob with the wars? I'm supposed to worry about it? What they rob over there, those evil Republicans? I'll take whatever I can get. Don't tell me what I can do. I got, again, in the middle of a show, distracted. I'll be right back. Let me see what the mail is. Here's a little beautiful story. Just came out minutes ago that I'm putting up on michaelsavage.com. You're not going to believe it. To show you the downgrade, the retrograde, the reversal, the degeneracy, the turn back of this country. Former university president busted in connection with New Jersey prof's prostitution ring. A former president of the University of New Mexico was arrested today in connection with the investigation into a prostitution ring headed by New York physicist David Florey, cop said today. Ex-president Francis Chris Garcia, age 71, booked this morning in charges of promoting prostitution, tampering with evidence, and conspiracy. Garcia, the first Hispanic president of UNM, hey, yay! Still teaches political psi at the Albuquerque campus. Detectives this morning served search warrants at Garcia's home and his UNM office. Flory, 68, was busted Sunday and charged with 40 felony counts of promoting prostitution for allegedly running an online brothel, Southwest Companions, that used 200 hookers to service as many as 1,400 Johns, cops said. Flory of West 87th Street in New York is a physics prof at Fairleigh Dickinson University. He was freed on bail yesterday, must remain in New Mexico. So now we have the university president that was running the hooker ring with him. First Hispanic president of UNM. I can imagine they cheered when he was appointed. Oh, yeah. Diversity, man. Oh, yeah. Diversity. Oh, yeah. Because naturally, if it's diverse, it's good. It's better than white men. Because one is white and one is Hispanic. What does it have to do with race? Nothing. Then why are we mentioning that he was the first Hispanic president? The answer is because he was. As a matter of fact. So people are saying, bigger fish to fry out there than grown adults willingly wanting to pay and receive money for sex. Well, that may be so, whether or not prostitution should be legalized, that could be argued. But should a college president be in the business? Would you want your child in a classroom where the professor is a pimp, in other words, running a brothel? I mean, you could see it's not one and the same thing. You could argue that prostitution should be legalized. That's an argument and a discussion to have. But I don't think you'd want your college teacher to be teaching your daughter, who's also running a brothel on the side, would you? Unless you're from Queens or Brooklyn. Don't call. If you're from Queens or Brooklyn, it's, I don't mind. No, well, don't do anything I didn't do. Just don't get caught. You know what I mean? No, don't do anything I didn't do. Whatever you do, honey. Are you kidding? Yeah, make sure you have protection. That's all. Don't do anything. I remember that statement they were saying, don't do anything I wouldn't do? What kind of statement is that to tell a child? Don't do anything I wouldn't do, wink, wink. Are you kidding me? And then you wake up and you have this now? The world we're living in? So we're back to this again. Therefore, let them eat shrimp. Says Muslim says Islam lets you eat shrimp. Very good. All right. I learned that. So why pig then? If you only took the pig part from the Jews, why not the shrimp part? How does that compute? The pig and the shrimp were both dirty. And are still dirty to the Orthodox Jew. Anything that crawls and creeps with legs, arthropods, crustapods, hossapods, mossapod, yossapod, Can't eat them. So how could you eat a shrimp now? I never understood that. If you take part of it, what part do you leave behind? And what part do you take? The whole thing, that's it could turn you into an atheist.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
How do you feel about the fact that the pharmacy shooter in New York is now being used to boost Obamacare, with newspapers saying that he lost his health care and that's why he killed, and he needed health care to get his junkie wife her junkie pills? How do you feel about Ron Paul and Bonnie Frank introducing legislation ending the federal war on marijuana and letting states legalize, regulate, tax, and control marijuana without federal interference? Do you think legalizing marijuana will turn more children into potheads and then junkies? Do you agree that the government has gone too far in incarcerating pot users? Have you decided not to go on a vacation this year, and why not? What's your worst vacation horror story? What is the worst tourist destination for conservatives? Have you read a book over the summer that has inspired you? Have your cable TV news viewing habits changed recently? Which news personality or radio talk show host have you stopped listening to? I'm sorry to report again, but Michelle is in South Africa. And she stopped by the University of Cape Town for an event with young people. And she said, she was asked questions like, what advice can you give the youth today? And then somebody said to her, you're promoting nutrition. What's your favorite food? And she said, I can't stop eating French fries, but you should eat your vegetables. Michelle Obama said, this is a tough one. It's tough, you know, because if I say something not healthy, people will be like, you aren't really committed to health. If I say something healthy, you know I do. Honestly, I like all kinds of foods. This is the First Lady. Obama then mentioned Indian food and then Mexican food and then said, no, if I picked one favorite food, it's French fries. The audience began to laugh. Okay, it's French fries, Michelle Obama continued. I can't stop eating them. As the students laughed more, the First Lady quickly returned to her role as advocate of healthy eating. But eat your vegetables, she said to still more laughs, and exercise. Let them eat carrots.
This is about Bernanke. He has to be on that call. Forget the investors. The investors are going to do, if Bernanke listens, Bernanke needs to open the discount window. That's how bad things are out there. Bernanke needs to focus on this. Alan Greenspan told everyone to take a teaser rate and then raise the rate 17 times. And Bernanke is being an academic. It is no time to be an academic. It is time to get on the Bear Stearns call. Listen, open the darn Fed window. He has no idea how bad it is out there. He has no idea. He has no idea.
No, he has no idea, but he's still there. Okay, Ben Bernanke is still there. Mr. Mild-mannered, oatmeal-eating Ben Bernanke, the quiet, peaceful man, is an academician who studied the Great Depression and walks around that with almost a cross to bear, where everything he does will almost guarantee us that we will have another Great Depression. The fundamentals are bad. The planned layoffs are up. The private sector jobs are growing very slowly. Manufacturing is slowing. The administration is letting jobs being shipped to be shipped overseas. They're letting all manufacturing go overseas. They're not slamming the door on imports. They're not imposing tariffs, which would help the economy, not hurt it. And I look on and on and on. Don't assume that because I'm not on Wall Street, I don't have ideas about how to cure some of the disease. I could stop some of this disease if I had the power. Believe me, I could. And I wouldn't listen to half of these nitwits from Harvard or Yale, because although they may have degrees in the field, they are so inbred that they listen to their own music. All they do is hear their own music. And they all repeat each other's wisdom. And they all use the same concepts without thinking it through and looking at the real world. I live in the real world. I don't know how many academics in the Ivy Tower actually live in the real world. 1-800-449-8255. Let's take some of the calls on the Savage Nation. Rich, fire away from Maine. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi. I was just going to make two pithy points. They're not that smart. You've driven that, nailed that one home. You're upset because of this show, because you know it's been a hit piece to spin the actual facts of history. And whether it's AIG and Zurich Insurance, I don't know whether you got to dump it.
Yeah, did you watch it? Did you see Too Big to Fail?
I couldn't. I'd be like you. I couldn't sit through it. And I wanted to make a point, though. Whether those two big insurance companies early on were keeping their workman's comp policies off the books, no certificate of insurance, and aggregate policies. So they, you know, keep
right, well, they,
off.
By the way, after letting Lehman die, they supported AIG with a bailout. Now, why would they support AIG? Why didn't they let it collapse? The answer was because everybody had money that was involved with AIG, and it would have brought the entire system down, as the argument of the movie Too Big to Fail. Is that true?
It's an inside click, and I tell people in a pithy point. I said they had a lawyer that trained lawyers to sue lawyers. They expanded to give loans to people that didn't qualify. And the
right.
Banks
it was the loans to people who didn't qualify that caused the bubble. That was the primary engine. Let me take a few calls because I'm going to stay on this for a while. It's an astounding story. It's not going away. It's only going to get bigger. I was fascinated by Too Big to Fail because it was so well done to the 90th percentile. Some of the script writing was comedic. I mean, the woman who plays Hank Paulson's wife was pathetic. You know, she was the hurt, caring wife at their home in Michigan, always waiting there for him. And he was so pained trying to save the world. And he was a Christian Scientist who doesn't take so much as a beer during the crisis, but he throws up with anxiety. And he's given sleeping pills by one of the other guys at the bank, but he throws them down the toilet. I mean, it was pathetic, the whole thing. The most laughable scenes were those of Ed Asner playing Warren Buffett, especially the one of the Warren Buffett character with his children in McDonald's. I mean, do you actually believe that the richest man in the world has no bodyguard? Do you actually believe that while every Hollywood slut has a bulletproof limousine and two thugs to put on an act, that the richest man in the world really plays that humble a life? I mean, come on. I don't believe any of this. And if you do, good luck to you. Okay. Let's take your calls right now on the Savage Nation. Bill in New York, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I agree with you about everything you've said, except for one thing. The second half of this economic collapse in 2008 was caused by the deregulation of derivatives.
Hold on for a minute. I don't claim to be an expert. I've studied it, but the guys who are in finance are smarter than I am in finance. I'm good at certain things and not good at other things. I know the uptick rule shouldn't have been eliminated under Bush, and I also know that the Glass-Steagall Act shouldn't have been eliminated under Clinton. Please explain what you mean by what you just said.
Okay. I can't explain it in 2 minutes, but I'll tell you how to get it. You could Wikipedia Brooks Lee Bourne, who was the Commodity Futures and Exchange Commission head at that time, who had the authority to regulate derivatives in 1998. This all occurred under Bill Clinton.
Can you tell me again what to search? What is it now?
Her name is Brooksley, Brooksley.
Yeah.
Her name is Bourne, Born. Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Her. Go down to derivatives, and you'll see a show called Frontline that explains the whole thing. Frontline.
Oh.
The warning.
So PBS did investigate the derivative scam?
Brooksley Bourne was the future Commodities and Exchange Commissioner. She was the head. She had the authority to regulate derivatives, and she saw the problem. She predicted the problem back in 1998. At that time, Bill Clinton was the president, and she reported directly to the president. Robert Rubin, who was then Treasury Secretary, who was plucked from Goldman Sachs by Bill Clinton.
Right.
Along with Larry Levitt, Timothy Geithner was aboard on that too.
Yes. Wasn't Geithner also from Goldman Sachs?
I'm not sure about that. You could look up his history very easily. I think he had.
But the long and short of it is this woman, Brooksley Bourne, saw this coming. She tried to stop it. She tried to regulate it. And even though she was appointed by Clinton, she was blocked at every turn. I read that Bourne was concerned about swaps of financial instruments that are traded over the counter between banks. Can you tell us what a credit default swap is, Bill?
Okay. Michael, these are sophisticated instruments. I don't know a lot about them, but I just know that it's a side bet. These default swaps are side bets. If a company's going to tank, it's a bet that you have insurance if it tanks. So you win.
So in other words, the big boys were trading with fiduciary instruments that didn't exist prior to the age of the gangsters on Wall Street. And they were basically playing with worthless paper and trading worthless paper for other worthless paper and then taking real dollar profits from it in plain English. She tried to stop it, and she said that these default swaps, which were being used as over-the-counter trades between banks, insurance companies, and other funds, had no transparency at all whatsoever. And although she wanted to regulate it, it was opposed by Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan and by Treasury Secretaries Robert Rubin and Lawrence Summers. That's what I'm reading right now. So Alan Greenspan, whose wife works for MSNBC, by the way, is deeply enmeshed in all of this, and yet he's never been investigated. Make no mistake about it. Half the commentators are owned or paid for by the Sandlers or by Soros or by one of the other front liberal groups, in my opinion. And they're cheaper than the cheapest whore on the cheapest street in your city. I don't care how pretty they may look. They're lower than the cheapest whore in your neighborhood. They're worse than the cheapest whore. It gets me sick to see them get away with it. They're bought and sold like a cheap whore in Budapest. And I'm sorry to be so graphic, but it's the only way you're going to listen to me. That's the only way you're going to listen to me. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Why are so many boys stuck in boyhood? Why do so many guys in their 20s and 30s, basically, why are they still like children? What's causing this? Is it that the aggressive nature of, is it because of the aggressive nature of women? Is it because of the women's movement? Is it because for 30 years there's been propaganda that men are unnecessary? Why is this? Why are there so few men? And especially, by the way, this is a very difficult thing to point out, but it's a demographic reality. Caucasian men in particular are wimps, young men. You don't see this as much amongst the Latino men. Many of the Latino men will get married young and have families. You don't see this as much amongst other races. You see it primarily amongst Caucasian men in the West. Why is it that they remain Boy Scouts instead of becoming Scoutmasters? Why are so many men, shall I say males, let's put it to you that way, stuck in boyhood? Why is it that they didn't do what probably you did if you're part of my generation, getting married relatively young, struggling, having children very young, basically killing yourself very young to have a family? Now, what motivated people of my generation to do that? I'm going to lay down a couple of ideas that I have, and then I'm going to ask you your ideas. For one, when I was a young man, I knew what was expected of me. There was no question. My parents, my relatives let me know very clearly that a male in our society should go to college, get a career, find a girl, pick one out of the chorus line, get married and have children, or else there were questions about you. There were questions about you in every way. Like, what's wrong with you that you can't get married? I mean, if you hit 30 and you weren't married already, forget about it. You know what I'm saying? You had to meet someone, get married, and have children. You say, well, that was the dark ages. Really? Hey, schmuck, I'd like to say to you, if it wasn't for guys like your father, you wouldn't be here. Think about what I just said to you. If it wasn't for the so-called dark ages, you wouldn't be here. If your father behaved the way you are, you wouldn't be here. Don't you understand that? So what exactly is going on in our society that so many white males are afraid to become men, in plain English? In plain English, that's all. What is doing it? What happened? Why are they so boy-like instead of men? What happened to this country? And there are many answers, by the way. There's not a single answer. So let's start with the callers. I've given you one little example. I think there are others. Ann Arbor, Michigan. Barry, we'll start with you. What's your opinion? How come so many white males are stuck in boyhood?
I'm going to hazard a guess.
But I think from my experience, you hear in a white male community, or I don't even want to say that, sorry. You hear what you should make when you take a job. And I think that's outdated.
What you're saying, you're saying the employment expectations are so high that people don't meet up to it and they feel inadequate?
And they hold out or they wait until they get that job that they think they should be getting.
And haven't they ever heard about starting at the bottom and working your way up?
No, I think many of them haven't.
I think that's a very big point. I think it's a very true point. I mean, I know it's true. A lot of young people have the idea that they are too good for menial jobs. Oh, I'm too good for retail, man. After I get home, there's nothing left. So I'll just stay home and sponge off Obamacare till I'm 27. Thanks for the call. So that's one. I mean, I got out of college. I wasn't particularly a good student. I didn't know where I was going. I had a few upsets along the way. I had to leave school for one semester. My father had a heart attack. I had help run the store. So I got out. I was sort of drifting around a little bit. I took a job as a social worker because it was a very low-level, entry-level job. I took the job because at least it was a job. I lived lower than some of the welfare recipients. I had no furniture. I've told you the story. I wasn't ashamed of myself. I knew that, you know, I'll do it for a while. But you know what happens after a while is you get ashamed of yourself. You see people living better. So you have two choices at that point. You could walk around with a chip on your shoulder and hate everybody, or you could say, you know what, I want to make better of my life, and I'm going to work harder. I went back to school. I continued. Then I got a job teaching, and I went to graduate school after teaching all day till 10 o'clock at night. I did that many nights a week. So I got a master, blah, blah, blah. I kept pushing myself, pushing. And the more I did, the more ambitious I became. That's the strangest thing. And the older I got, the more ambitious I became. Would you believe it? People say to me, why don't you retire? I said, there's no such word in my vocabulary. I don't know what the word means. Retire from what to what? There's no such thing as retire. It doesn't mean I'm not tired a lot of the times and exhausted from overwork. I've taken on too much. I mean, I'm writing a novel. I'm writing a nonfiction book. I'm doing 5 shows a week. It is a little too much. The biggest battle in my life that sucked me dry, it's almost killed me, is this battle in the UK. You wouldn't believe it. It's drained me. I hate to admit it. But the liberals, in a way, have beaten me almost to the point of winning. I have to admit it to you. I have to look back over the last 2 years. I'd say the single biggest drain of my energy has been what the illegitimate former Prime Minister of England did to me, Gordon Brown, that corrupt sack of you-know-what.
Savage.
Ken Timmerman is an investigative reporter who's uncovered some incredible information about North Korea and the development of an electromagnetic pulse weapon that could bring down our entire power grid. Oh, come on. Kenneth, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thanks, Michael, for having me on. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
What does an EMP weapon do, Ken?
Well, an EMP weapon, Michael, is a nuclear weapon, basically. It does not have to have a high explosive yield, but it gives off gamma rays. And the gamma rays essentially fry everything that's made of silicon. Your computers, gas stations, all the electric power grid, cell phones, you name it, all of it turns into melted sand. The result of that is that essentially the entire U.S. power grid goes down, and according to studies that have been done for the congressionally commissioned EMP commission, it could be down for 4 to 10 years at least, which means no power in the United States for 4 to 10 years. That could have societal altering consequences.
Are you sure? How did North Korea manage to develop this technology?
Well, you know, the story, Michael, goes back to 1962. There was a young Air Force lieutenant with an engineering degree who was on duty one night in Hawaii, I believe it was, when we were testing a nuclear weapon out in the Pacific, out in the atmosphere. And all of a sudden, you know, thousands of miles away in Hawaii, the lights went off. And he was assigned to look into it, to investigate what happened. and he discovered that there was an electromagnetic pulse that went out at the same time as the nuclear weapon exploded. So at the same time you had this explosive charge, there was also this pulse wave that went out and affected everything that was electronic. His name was William Graham. He went on to become President Reagan's scientist at the White House, chief scientist, and was the chairman of this congressionally mandated EMP commission, which has issued these very alarming and highly scientific reports.
Wasn't this a concern during the Cold War when we were told the Russians were going to knock out our power grid?
Well, you bet. What happened in the Cold War was that we spent a huge amount of money hardening our not our electric power grid so much, but our weapons. We hardened the nuclear weapons. We hardened our Air Force, our bombers, even our F-16 tactical fighter jets. And they all had special electronic systems. Many of them were based on bubble memories, a special kind of non-silicon chip that would withstand this EMP pulse so that our weapons could fight in a what was then thought to be a nuclear environment. But guess what? The peace dividend came along at the end of the Cold War when Bill Clinton was president, and we no longer harden our weapon systems. So if this happened today, and by the way, it's not just a nuclear weapon that could cause this kind of EMP pulse attack that could take down the grid. It's also something like a massive solar flare that NASA has been forecasting for the next, that could happen in the next year or two. So today, if that happens, even our F-16s, even our tactical fighters, even our conventional warfighting capabilities would be down because they're no longer hardened.
Does North Korea have the missile technology to reach the U.S. at this time?
They could be shooting from a freighter in the Pacific, or they could be shooting from a freighter, a cargo ship in the Atlantic off the coast of Washington, D.C. We know, for example, that the Iranians have tested a missile in an EMP configuration, which means simply that they've sent it up into the atmosphere and exploded it in air instead of watching it come down in the ballistic trajectory against a target on the ground. That's something you don't do for any other reason except to test an EMP weapon. And the Iranians are working hand in glove with the North Koreans. In fact, most of the experts that I've spoken to, Michael, have told me that this is a joint program. The nuclear weapons that North Korea tests, Iranian scientists are there for every single test on the ground. And every time that Iran tests a ballistic missile in Iran, you have North Korean scientists who are there to observe the tests. So this seems to be a joint program, both for nuclear weapons and for ballistic missiles, and the delivery of this seems to be, the choice vehicle, the warhead that they want to deliver, appears to be an electromagnetic pulse, an EMP weapon.
Well, what are we doing to disrupt North Korea from gaining an EMP weapon?
Unfortunately not. Both the North Koreans and the Iranians are forging ahead full steam in their weapons programs. The North Koreans have threatened several times this year to launch a third series of tests, nuclear tests. The U.S. Has been warning them not to do so, but the kind of warning that nobody really pays attention to. You know, you do another round of tests and we'll give you another round of sanctions. I don't really think the North Koreans take that seriously. The Iranians are also forging ahead full steam in their nuclear weapons program. And recently you had a statement by the Revolutionary Guards saying essentially the day after we test a nuclear weapon will be an ordinary day. Nobody's going to respond. The United States will do nothing. Europe will do nothing. NATO will stay silent. And the world will go on like it has before. But Iranians will rejoice because we have a new pride and a new weapon. So you see these really serious indicators that both North Korea and Iran are moving forward in their nuclear weapons program, and we're doing nothing to stop them.
Well, what can we do to protect ourselves?
Well, the simplest thing, Michael, is actually the cheapest thing as well. There is a piece of legislation called the SHIELD Act that's been sponsored by Congressman Trent Franks of Arizona and a bunch of others, Democrats and Republicans. And it would require the federal government to set standards for protecting the electrical grid, the national grid, from both an EMP or a solar magnetic event. And then they would work with industry to devise solutions for this, to essentially to harden something like 5,000 transformers around the United States. The estimates that I've heard from experts who are working on this are that it would run something in the order of $1 billion to harden all those transformers. If we were subject to such an attack, if this actually happened, either again from a solar flare or from a nuclear EMP attack, you're talking about trillions of dollars in damage to the U.S. economy and tens of millions, if not more, Americans dead, because our economy could not sustain itself at the current level, at 21st century levels, without a national power grid. So it's absolutely insane that the administration and the majorities in Congress, and both parties, by the way, are not working day and night to pass the SHIELD Act. Instead, they're spending time on trying to protect the grid from a cyber attack, which, while is something very serious, it could not have the same kind of devastating impact on American life.
Well, this is a case of something terrible has to happen, like a bomb going off from North Korea before we act?
Well, let me tell you this, Michael. If something bad happens, it will be so bad we will not recover if we do not take preventive measures. And the tragic irony is those preventive measures are known, they're easy to implement, and they're not very expensive, and they will be, the cost will be picked up essentially by the ratepayers. If you spread this out all across the United States, it might be pennies a year on your electric bill to protect you instead of destroying the way of life that you now enjoy. We know, for example, that just recently there was a solar flare-up and a solar storm, and it just missed the planet Earth. If it had been off by a couple of degrees, we would have been hit by it already. This is the kind of thing that we know is going to happen. We're at the end of a peak 11-year cycle, and it's one of the biggest cycles in solar storms that has ever occurred. And if it hits the Earth, it will take down the national power grid in this country. And in fact, as one of the experts I spoke to in this recent article I did at Newsmax told me, it will have planetary consequences. It will take down power grids across the planet. So this is a problem that's not just America's problem when it comes to the solar geomagnetic storms. It's actually a planetary problem, and that's why you had recently President Obama's science advisor and the science advisor for the Prime Minister of Britain writing an op-ed together saying, well, we're working on the problem. The only problem is they're not working on the solution.
Ken Timmerman, thanks for being on The Savage Nation.
Well, Michael, you can read more about this at my website, kentimmerman.com, or you can just go to newsmax.com where the story originally appeared. And I really appreciate you having me on to talk about this, Michael. It's a tremendous threat that I hope Americans will want to learn more about.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
How is it that in my generation, I'll tell you, almost every guy I knew, everyone I knew was married in their 20s, got married and had a child, except one guy who was oriented another way. He happened to die very young of a drug overdose, by the way. But everybody else got married, had children. Why? They were required to, expected to, did so. So you say, oh, well, they were miserable. They were unhappy. Well, don't be so sure, number one. And on the other side, you're telling me that young guys today are so happy because they're not married? You're telling me happiness exists in not getting married? So tell me, why is this happening, particularly to the white male? As I say to you, it is particularly a product of the white male today in the West. You don't see this in most Asian nations. You don't see it in African nations. You see it in primarily in so-called affluent white communities. Why is it happening? Does anyone have an answer? Well, we have all these answers. We've covered it. And I'd like to know what you think about this. So let's go to the callers and see what they think around America. New York, Sandy, go ahead, please, your opinion.
Dr. Savage, I'm truly honored. I think there are many contributing factors, the pesticides in the water, turning the hormones more female, but I think two main reasons. First of all, yes, there are a lot of single women raising boys, and I don't think a woman can raise a boy to become a man. I think a man needs to be there. Not only that, it's not politically correct to be a man. I think that...
So you're saying young guys are afraid to act like men? They're afraid that they'll be ostracized if they act gruff?
think it's socially acceptable anymore, and I think that it's been a long range.
You mean because the roles have been reversed? Women are allowed to act like men, and men are acting like women?
Well, I think we've opened the gap to, we've opened the door to a lot of different behaviors, but I think that, I don't know, it's been sort of like a strategic movement. You know, in the 60s, men were running to Canada, they weren't holding up their end of the familial bargain, like you know, it. Women are attracted to strong men, at least I think so, and that's sort
Well, do you mean, wait, when you say strong men, do you mean men with money? I got you there.
Well, I can't deny that, but I think even if you watch birds, it's the male. He makes the best nest. He cleans it out. The one who seems like the safer bet is the one the female.
You know, I once had an old Russian rabbi talk to me when I was young. You know what he said to me from the old school? He said to me, he was joking with the words. He didn't speak very good English, and he said the word husband means house band.
Oh.
I said, what do you mean? He said house band. He puts a band around the house, and he holds it together. I thought that was a beautiful statement, by the way.
Well, not only that, but you take the male equation out, you factor that out. Men protect their realm. Now, if you're saying that men are not important, who do we have to protect our realm? However small, it could be just five kids and a wife in a small home. But I think that men look at the world so much differently than women do, and we can't get them confused, and it's just...
Are you saying that men have become cowardly?
No, I see... I think,
does that summarize it all in a nutshell? If we were writing this in simplistic terms, would we say that the white male has abrogated his responsibilities to become a husband and a father because he's become cowardly?
I don't think it's cowardly. I think he's kind of giving up.
Giving up? That's interesting. That is a distinction, isn't it?
What?
He's giving up. Why? Because he can't do it?
Replace.
He can't cop to it? He can't do that role?
No, I think every place he goes, look at TV, they make the man look like an idiot. The only one who knows anything at home is the woman. And every place
Yeah, the TV ads are horrible, but most TV ads, the ad industry is run by guys like Galliano, the designer. Okay, they're all about the same. The mentality is the same, and that's why they denigrate the male. I understand that. But by the way, they don't just target the white male. I've seen them do this, by the way, recently to the black male in ads, too. It's disgusting. Every male, whether it of any race, is denigrated in ads, turned into some kind of schlemiel, non-human, like a weakling. The lawnmower falls out of his hand. He sets the barbecue on fire. He falls over, and mommy has to come save him, right?
Yes. Yes. It's like the mother is the only one who knows what's going on. And I think, you know, as a young boy...
So in other words, if you want to put it in that bigger context, it is the women's movement who has tried to make the male irrelevant. They have made the male irrelevant. They want the matriarchy to run America on some principle idea that the matriarchy is somehow better than the patriarchy, and a matriarchy will save America. Well, how did that work out? Just take a look at the White House. Take a look at Hillary Clinton. How's that worked out with the matriarchy in power?
Michael, did you...
How's that worked out with Michelle Obama in the White House running everything? And by the way, it's alleged on the inside that the advisors to the president are his wife and his mother-in-law, that they're really running the country. How's that worked out for the country?
Yeah, it looks good, huh? Did you ever look at that study that they did on elephants? I know it's ridiculous. It sounds stupid. But male elephants, they were so worried about all these poachers getting all the elephants, they decided to move a whole bunch of them out. But they didn't have the tools to get the big buck males out. They didn't have the machinery to get them out. So they got females and young, the young. What started to happen over a year or so was that the males began to form gangs and beat up the other females, things that in the elephant community...
Wow, you're kidding. You mean once the elephant family structure broke down, they became kind of wild?
It got so bad that the young female elephants were being raped rather than joining into family relationships with the other young males. But what they be some smart scientist, and I wish I remember his name.
Whoa, this is some story. Wow.
good. Anyway, what he said, well, you know, maybe we need to bring back the bulls. By this time, all the young male elephants were just, they ran the river. Nobody can go and drink without their permission. They ran in gangs. They were just terrible. They were beating up the other animals around. Anyway, they finally got large enough machinery and tools to get the huge bull males there.
And
okay, so one day, these bull males are just, you know, maybe only four of them, nonchalantly going down to the watering hole. And they're going
to. You're starting
water.
To sound like Janet Napolitano now.
No, oh, no, no, listen.
No, I don't mean the elephant analogy. I mean, your voice suddenly shifted into Big Sis. So go on. What's the end of the story?
Okay, the interesting thing is that nobody got in his way. These young guys just moved aside, and they took testosterone levels. Do you know that prior to those bull male elephants going there, that the T levels on these young boys was through the roof? Once the older males began, you know, asserting themselves just by the very way they were walking, they didn't have to do anything.
Right.
The testosterone levels in these young males started to go way down.
You're kidding. That's an amazing story. I mean, this is a hell of a study. Heck of a study.
Well, see, you speak my
language. Sandy, are you a scientist? What do you do?
Oh, I'm a registered nurse. But my mind is in other places.
Yeah, this is a heck of a story about elephants. You know that that's a weakness of mine, elephants.
There's so many things, you know, and I know about the pesticides turning, causing the body to produce female hormones.
Yes, that's right. Some of the plastics in our food and water supply in the environment mimic estrogenic compounds. There's no question about it. That's not mythology. Also, the high level of soy that's been introduced into the American diet is completely unnatural for this population, incidentally, and it's also feminized men. Do you know that? Soy-based products also mimic estrogenic-like compounds.
I know. But you know what I found out? Is it's almost impossible.
Well, no, let's go into diet for a minute. It's something I'm an expert in. Do you know how many young boys have been raised for 20 years on low-fat, no-fat diets? No meat, low-fat, no-fat diets? Have you any idea what that does to a child?
Right. Without fat, you can't absorb. You can only do vitamin C and B complex. You know, they're water soluble.
The boys are nutritionally deficient. They're deprived of hormone building blocks, and so they're not developing into full male. So I really have not even talked about the nutritional component of this extended childhood, so to speak, or extended boyhood. I appreciate your call very much.
Savage.